Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories, oh what joy,
they bring to me,
how I long
once more to be, with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, as you know, as we open His Word this morning, we're going to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we open your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit now come forward and take over this service and bring to us the revelation, Father, that we all stand in need of in receiving the truth of this your word, so that we, Father, cannot be deceived by Satan and his bunch. And we ask the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, to receive the things He will give us this morning. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. And although you're muted, let you know I do see you, Miss Amy. And I wish you all a great day today. All right. We're going to be in chapter 13 of the book of Acts. And we're going to see some changes being made. Here in verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simon, that was called Niger and Lucius, of Cyrene and Manani, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And you see, the thing about that is, you've got three factors here that demonstrates actually the shift that takes place in this chapter 13. One is the spread of the gospel in the earlier chapters were often the result of persecution. But now it becomes the result of missions. And two, as this evangelism spreads to the Gentiles, the focus passes from Peter to Paul. And three, likewise, the base of operations passed from Jerusalem to Antioch of Syria. And you know, we know that Antioch was the capital of the province of Syria and the third largest city within the empire, being surpassed only by Rome and Alexander. And it was a cosmopolitan and commercial center. And the list of men who are leaders in the church at Antioch sent a wide spectrum within society, from Simon called Niger, the Black, to Menone, the boyhood companion of Herod and Antipas. Simon may be the man who carried Christ's cross, called Simon of Cyrene, which actually is North Africa, really. Men from Cyrene had begun the ministry among the Gentiles in Antioch. Now, you see, there's a whole lot right there in that one verse to think about. Because there in that one verse really is giving us a description of what is taking place in this chapter. And two, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. You see, he's got a special work here now for them and a special calling. Three. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, we find that the Holy Ghost had told these apostles to separate Barnabas and Saul. Because this is where the work is going to begin to change. And change from Peter to Paul, because he is now going to send Paul to Gentile people. He'll be going to different nations, even, and establishing churches and setting up those, to operate those churches and things as he is guided by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And you think about the job that God is calling him for and how you would like to be that. Now, here in verse 4, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed into Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministry. 6. And when they had gone through the isle unto Patros, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. Now, 7, which was with the deputy of the country, Sir Gaius Valerius, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "All full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" Now, we know that this Sergius, he was a man that was of Rome. In fact, he was a Roman ruler at one time over the Isle of Cyprus. But he also became Paul's first convert. Think about that. Now, 11. "And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." You know, most today has never seen any of the power of God where it had been used to bring about anything to mankind. Think about that. They've never seen in their churches any healings of any type, because our churches has become weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker until now most are just tickling ears, so to speak. We're not getting the truth and the power of the gospel from them. And that's why we're not seeing the miracles being done today. Most of our churches claim they died with the apostles. No, it didn't. It was just beginning with them. It didn't die with them. It was beginning with them. Now, we're told that. Anyway, 13. "Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perge in Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returned to Jerusalem." 14. "So when they departed from Perge, they came to Antioch in Persida, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Now they're in a synagogue which teaches the law, the Mosaic law. Now they have been invited. If they've got anything to say on. "Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, And ye that fear God, give audience. He's wanting them to listen. You see, 17. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he them out of it. And you see, thing about this is, God did bring them out of Egypt, and he did not bring them out. They came out with the gold and all of Egypt. Because God will take care of his people. Now, 18. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. We know there's 12 tribes to Israel. And he broke this land down that he had taken and cleared for them to give each one of them so much of it. And he told each one where to go. Now, he goes on here in 20 and he tells them, he says, and after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. You see, we're talking about a lot of time. And he's going back in time here with his preaching here for the time being. Here in 21, and afterwards they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. You see, a lot of things that has this 40 years attached to it. Numbers are a main thing with the Lord Jesus. We're not going to get into that because he's got enough to do here in this chapter. But one day maybe God will lead us that way. Now, 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. In other words, he's letting them know that David is his man. He is going to fulfill the will of God. Now, 23. Of this man's seed has God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. You see, he went through all this other to bring them up to the point of the coming of Jesus and the line he came from. Now, 24. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, You see, we're told here again about John's baptism being for repentance. But it's not anymore. That's why we don't use it. Now, we are to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And I've read to everyone before of why that is. That's because we go to Jesus for forgiveness. And we put him on. We bring him into our lives. And we, through baptism, are buried with him and resurrected with him. And we put on his death and his resurrection. Now, 25. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, "Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose." Now we know that. We've been told that now all the way through the four Gospels. Each Gospel has told us about that. Now, 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. He's letting them know that it is being sent to all that wants to be with God. Now, 27. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. All this has been read to them every day. But they have denied him. Now, 27. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, you see, which are read every Sabbath day. They're reading about all of these, and we know that the prophets prophesied about the coming of Jesus. 28. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they followed that he should be slain. Paul not pulling any punches, is he? He's telling them straight out. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. In other words, he's been buried now. That's what he's letting them know. But God raised him from the dead. Praise God. Glory. He raised him from the dead. And you and I have him today to make our way, a way for you and I to make heaven our home. Now, 31. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. You see, he was seen by quite a few after his resurrection. Not just his disciples. There was a group of 500 at one time that saw him. 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalms, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Now, 34. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he saith on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. He's taken Jesus back to heaven, naturally, where he came from, and he's going to take him back. 35. Wherefore, he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. 36. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. He's dead. Now, 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you forgiveness of sins. Uh-oh. Through this man, the Lord Jesus. 39. And by him all that believe are justified from all things. Does not matter what sin you have committed, it can be forgiven. There's only one sin that the Bible tells us there's no forgiveness for. But that is the sin against the Holy Spirit. You know, it tells in the Bible, you can curse the Father and be forgiven. You can curse the Son and be forgiven. But to blaspheme the Holy Spirit is unforgivable. Makes you wonder why I didn't. But yet it's not really hard to understand. It lets us know that Jesus finished his work at the time on the earth, went back to heaven. But now the one that is with us is the Holy Spirit that works through us, giving us the power of Almighty God to be able to do the work that he will ask of us to do. He's right here with you. And he will speak through you, and he will work through you. He will heal through you. Think about these things. But you see, you have to not only be a believer, but you have to have him living in you. And in order for that to happen, you have to fulfill the plan of salvation. There is things for you to do. And then we're told he is a gift from God. Now, 40, beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of the prophets. 41, behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. He's letting them know they're not going to believe anything he does or says. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And you see, the Jews are not wanting it, but the Gentiles are. They are really wanting to hear. And this is why the change was made when it was made. The Gentiles that were idol worshipers are now looking for something a lot better. And they are more accepting to it than the Jews. Still yet today. Now, 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Almost this whole city has come together to hear the word of God. You talk about power in your words. Now, 45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Look at the sin that they are doing, trying to tear Paul down. 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turned to the Gentiles. And this is exactly why these two were chosen. It's because God was getting them ready to send them to the Gentile people, not to their own, the Jews. He left Peter and them with the Jews speaking. Now, 47. For so has the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. The end of the earth. Think about that. That's why you and I are living by the New Testament. These are the words that we need to be living by, the words of the New Testament. Yes, we'll find a lot of the words of the Old in the New, and we need to study both to see that things that's in the New Testament was prophesied back in the Old Testament. But there's a lot of things, too, in that day and time, the way they lived, it was all right for them. It's not all right for you and I. Those men back then could have as many wives as they could afford. You and I can only have one. Think about it. There were several things that went on back then. It was all right. It's not all right today. And it's things like that that we need to know. 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. You see, the Gentiles are really accepting the word. 49. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. The Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coach. You see, they run them out. Because they wouldn't accept the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. His own people. And nations that had never been allowed to have anything about God now are accepting by multitudes. 51. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with joy and the Holy Ghost because of the acceptance that they had witnessed of the Lord Jesus Christ and the word that they was preaching. And we have now come to the end of chapter 13. And we're going to stop here for this morning. But you know, we need to really be praying for those that we love and for friends, but for all mankind. Because we are living in a day to where everything around us is going evil and going bad. And we need to stay within our groups and to stay in the word of Almighty God so that we will not be dragged away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that could happen. Satan is very conniving, and he can make things sound so good around us and show us things that look so good, but it's not good for us because we are not of him. We are to be of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we're thankful for the things that we can do for you. And we're asking you, Father, to let each one know what your calling for them is, what you want of them to do. And Father, we know that you have put us so that we have no excuse of not doing your work Now, Father, we pray for Jerusalem and the peace of it. We pray more, Father, the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And Father, this land of ours that has become so evil and had no excuse whatsoever. And it has been brought upon this nation by just a few, Father, of evil ones setting in our government and leadership positions and in our churches. Father, I pray that they be replaced, those that belong to you, so that they, Father, will work with us to bring this land to repentance and our government put back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for those that are of this ministry and listen to this ministry, we ask, Father, for you to keep them in health, keep them safe. Father, see them through each and every day. Hold them close to you, Father. And Father, our families, we all have family members that are not living in the light. They're living in darkness, doing things they should not be doing. I pray that the Holy Spirit will work with them, Father, and bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that none be lost. And Father, for that young couple, Courtney and Shane, pray for them, Father, that they find the Lord Jesus Christ. Straighten their lives out so that they too can make heaven their home. They're young, Father, and could be used among the young people. Now, Father, be with us all throughout this day, keeping us safe and bringing us back together this evening at 6 p.m. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right, all. Have a great, great, great day. Walk with God, hold on to Him, and He'll hold on to you. Have a good one.